I've got some perspectives I want to share with you about the weekend news, but I've also got a question for you. Would you vote for a Mormon to be president?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a bunch of hot-button issues I want to talk with you about today on The Line of Fire. So glad to be with you, Michael Brown. My privilege to share this time together, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. In fact, there's a lively discussion taking place on our Facebook page, which is Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Simple question, would you vote for a Mormon, potentially any Mormon, and not just Romney, to be president? Would you vote for a Mormon, potentially any Mormon, and not just Romney to be president? So I want to ask you that question as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, which hot buttons do I want to push first? Okay, I'm going to share my heart here, unburden myself for a moment. Talk to you about Herman Cain, talk to you about racism once again. Why? Because as believers, we must be able to talk through these issues. As believers, we need to be able to learn from each other. That means I learn from you, you learn from me. We learn from each other on these issues. We see if we have blind spots. We help fill in one another's understandings. We provoke one another to think issues through. Many a caller has given me something to think about. Many an email, many a post, comment online has given me something to think about. And I trust I'm giving you something to think about. All right, for those who haven't heard me share this personal history, I've been accused of lots of things over the years. Different theological stances I've taken, I get accused for those. Moral, social, cultural issues, I get accused about those things. So I'm used to being in controversy, but no one ever called me racist or accused me of having any racist attitudes, basically through my life. I remember one conversation with one man where to my shock, he brought that issue up. But he was heated and upset about other things. Otherwise, it's just nothing that ever came up any more than someone ever accused me of being short. You know, I'm 6'3". It's not something I get accused of. Well, when the presidential primaries were going on a few years back, and it was the first time when I had been on live daily talk radio that major elections were coming up, since I've been on daily for about 3.5 years or so. Well, when I took issue a couple times with things that then-candidate Obama had said, people began to call me and said, why do you have to keep bringing up race? And I was really shocked by that. I said, what do you mean race? They said, well, you're always bashing Obama. I said, well, actually, I'm not. I take an issue with different candidates, but it's got nothing to do with race. And I mentioned black candidates I agreed with and Mr. Obama I differed with. Or then, for example, I raised the issue of Hillary Clinton. She's a woman. I differ with her. But I appreciated the stances of some other women candidates. It doesn't do with male, female, black, white, any of those issues. Well, as I kept hearing that from others, and then other callers called in who were of sympathetic heart to me and told me, look, this is a spiritual stronghold that has to be broken, regardless of color or nationality. Just this is a spiritual stronghold that has to be broken. It can only be broken through prayer. I began to say to myself, okay, what can I do? What can I do to help overcome this within the body, to help my listeners work this through with me so that they recognize race is not the issue with me. The issues are the issues. So I've worked at that over the years. And because this is not primarily a political talk show or conservative talk show, but biblically based talk show, I'm going to raise these issues when I feel they're important and to be constructive. Well, here's the deal. I'm watching some things with Herman Cain the other day, and I'm saying to myself, come on, man, go for it. I like the stance you're taking. I like the way you're doing it. And I thought, how dare anyone ever raise to me that I take issue with Mr. Obama over race issues? I mean, it's the most absurd, completely off-base thing for me, okay? For me and for plenty of Americans. So, again, let's think the issues through and focus on the issues. For racists, white racists, black racists, whoever races here, race is an issue. But for the great bulk of the rest of us, race is the issue. The issues are the issues. All right, back with more.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Yes, being a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution means that we are going to talk about social issues, cultural issues, but from a kingdom perspective and as constructively as we know how. 866-34-TRUTH. Would you vote for a Mormon to be president? This issue is before us all the more with some controversy that took place over the last few days. I'll play some sound bites for you in a moment. 866-348-7884. Again, weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, a couple of other hot button issues, and then we'll discuss this Mormonism issue. There was a caller last week that wanted to know my position on the protesters, the Occupy protesters, and I said I didn't have a position. I haven't really followed the situation closely. I mean, I'm following it in the news, but haven't analyzed things. I have a gut level negative feeling about it, and what I've heard is negative, but I haven't weighed in a formal way. But I did notice this post that came up on my Facebook page from Shani, one of our ministry school grads who is now living in Israel. She's native-born Israeli. And she posted this. I thought it was cute, so I want to share this with you. Occupy Wall Street is a sham. Don't be a useful idiot, is what she wrote. Someone asked her why. So she gave the following six reasons. One, they claim to be anarchists, communists, Marxists, and neo-something or other. Two, they're violent toward cops, which alone puts me in a different category than them. Three, they're racist. When someone expresses anti-Semitic opinions, none of them defend the Jews. So the banks are evil. We need to take them down, and the Jews own the banks. They don't respond to that. Four, they're hypocrites. They say they hate big corporations while they utilize them to protest. Bank for donations, Facebook for communication, Starbucks for caffeine, and of course you can add iPhones for communication, etc. Five, this is not spontaneous grassroots. It is funded by George Soros, who advocates a new world order in his own words and believes America is the only thing standing in the way. I knew about this 6 months ago. It's organized by unions and freaky radicals from the 60s. Five, Ahmadinejad of Iran is excited about it. That should say something. Six, even if you do like what they stand for, making America weak right now only serves the purpose of people who want it to collapse. Israelis knew when terrorists attacked to chill out for a bit. These people don't care. I think that's a typo. I should have caught that. Don't care. Okay, just her observations. I thought I'd share those. They were cute. 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor, First Baptist in Dallas, Texas, introduced Rick Perry at a conservative values voter summit. Different candidates spoke there, and Mitt Romney was one of those candidates. And the pastor afterwards was asked, this was not part of his introduction, but was asked afterwards what his views were about Mormons, Mormonism, and he responded saying that evangelical Christians recognize Mormons are a cult. Now, the second hour of this broadcast, we're live in Salt Lake City, really all over Utah, and I'll put the same question out later today. You can listen online if you want to catch that and be interested to see if Mormons call in and weigh in on the subject. But before I get your response, before I go to the phones and share more about some national polls on this, I want you to hear some of this discussion.
Welcome back to Fox and Friends. Pastor Robert Jeffress has stirred up a lot of controversy for likening Mitt Romney's Mormon religion to a cult. He told a reporter, quote, "Rick Perry's a Christian. He's an evangelical Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Mitt Romney's a good moral person, but he's not a Christian. Mormonism is not Christianity. It's always been considered a cult by the mainstream of Christianity."
And that pastor, Dr. Robert Jeffress, is with us now. Pastor, thank you for being on the show this morning. So, real quickly, do you stand by that statement? And in what way is Mormonism a cult? What do you mean?
Well, first of all, when I introduced Governor Perry, I did not use the words Mormonism, cult, or even Mitt Romney. It came afterwards in an interview when a reporter asked me personally, would I vote for a Mormon? And I do believe Mormons are good moral people, but they've never been considered a part of mainstream Christianity. When I'm talking about a cult, I'm not talking about a sociological cult, but a theological cult. Mormonism was invented 1,800 years after Jesus Christ and the founding of Christianity. It has its own founder, Joseph Smith, its own set of doctrines, and even its own book, the Book of Mormon, in addition to the Bible. That, by definition, is a theological cult.
But when you use
the
word cult,
and that's all I was saying.
Pastor, the word cult, it stirs up negative feelings. For a lot of people, it's a negative word.
That's right. But again, I'm not talking sociologically. I'm talking theologically. And by the way, I'm a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the world. And the Southern Baptist Convention has labeled Mormonism as a cult. So as much as Bill Bennett and others would like to make me out to be the Jeremiah Wright of the right, I'm not. I've even said that I would vote for Mitt Romney if the choice was Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. But I believe, guys, when we as evangelical Christians have the choice to select a leader to unseat Barack Obama, we ought to give preference to a Christian instead of someone who doesn't embrace historical Christianity.
Well, all right. Now, thus far, I was very impressed with what Pastor Jeffress had to say and the way he said it. If you're watching it, he is smiling. And he's answering the questions with clarity, and he's making a difference between a sociological cult, some anti-government cult, or some bizarre group that's out to overthrow others, and a theological cult. And yes, historically, Mormonism has been regarded as a cult. Now, the question is, should that influence us if we were voting? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm reading an article. The new ugly debate about Mitt Romney's Mormon faith will only push him closer to the nomination, by Tim Stanley. And he says this, true, there is a small but significant minority who say they would never vote for a Mormon. According to Gallup, it's around 22% of the population. But opposition to Mormonism doesn't come from conservative evangelicals or Catholics. On the contrary, Gallup's polls show that it's a liberal thing. Only 7% of Baptists and Catholics wouldn't vote for a Mormon, compared with 32% of gays and 49% of atheists. Amusingly, the figure is also much, much higher among Mormons at 22%. That's right, 22% of Mormons would never vote for a Mormon. Perhaps they know something we don't. Fascinating. Now, here's my thinking, all right? I may ruffle a few feathers here, but I'm going to lay this out. If there were two people running for president, one of whom was a Jew and one of whom was not, okay, so I'm just making it generic. One is a Jew, one is not. Would I prefer the Jew in a vote? No, I wouldn't. It'd be great to have a Jewish president, but being Jewish itself would not guarantee to me that there's either a strong moral base or a biblically based mentality or anything else. Okay, what if there was a black person and a white person running? Would I prefer one over the other based on race? No. Wouldn't matter to me whatsoever. Or for that matter, let's add in Hispanic, Asian. The race would not matter to me whatsoever. American Indian. If it would be wonderful to have other ethnic groups in, or think of an American Indian president. Could you imagine that? But if I was voting based on that, and the person was African American, the person was Caucasian, the person was Hispanic, the person was Asian, the person was American Indian, Native American. No, none of that would influence me either way. That would all be equal, even to me. Okay, what about if it was a man or a woman running and everything was equal? If everything was equal, I believe primarily governmental headship has been assigned by God to men, primarily, although there are notable exceptions like Deborah, and there are mighty women raised up like Margaret Thatcher. And you know, in Israel, you think of Golda Meir and things like that. So, and Indian prime ministers and things like that, and Indira Gandhi, you may agree or disagree with some of the politics. But my general rule, if everything was equal and it was voting for a man or a woman, simply based on my view of governmental headship being primarily male, I would vote for a man. However, if it was a man whose moral convictions I didn't agree with versus a woman whose moral convictions I agreed with, absolutely I would vote for the woman without hesitation. Okay, what if it was a Mormon versus an evangelical and everything was even otherwise? Well, I would vote for the evangelical simply because I would know that if anything was being pushed in the scales one way or another, okay, if there was some potential where you had to go to your faith base or the presidency would help promote a particular faith, well, then I would want it to be evangelical versus Mormon. However, I personally wouldn't hesitate to vote for a Mormon if that person held to my moral ethics and stood with Israel and things like that, things that are very important to me when I vote, as opposed to, say, someone that was completely against those things and professed to be Christian. I'm looking at calls, quite a number of people weighed in on Facebook in the first few calls I've seen today. You'll say you wouldn't vote for a Mormon. So I want to hear why. And we can talk about Mitt Romney, but we can separate it and look at this as a faith issue aside from Mitt Romney. We will return.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so would you vote for a Mormon president? I know immediately, of course, our discussion goes around Mitt Romney, former Governor Mitt Romney. Amy Contrada of Mass Resistance has written a 600-page book, Mitt Romney's Deception, saying that he really isn't conservative in terms of his moral values, and if he's standing for that, it's just politically expedient. That's a position that she has laid out, and I encourage you to read it and come to your own conclusions. It's an important book. If Mitt Romney does become the Republican presidential candidate, but you could answer in terms of Mitt Romney, but the larger question, any Mormon, would you vote for that person to be president of the United States? I was looking at one post that said, look, Mormons are actually polytheists. If you understand the theology correctly, this would be our first polytheist. Then there were people who were concerned when John F. Kennedy was elected as our first Catholic president, Roman Catholic president. Was that really an issue? 866-34-TRUTH. Sean in Lowell, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
No, I would not vote for a Mormon, definitely not. First of all, the Mormon people themselves are nice, but they're misled. It would be just like voting for a Muslim, because they put Jesus Christ in their theology. It's important that I have a Christian-based president in the country, and they put Jesus in there, but they talk more in the sermons about Joseph Smith. I was part of the Mormon religion. I was forced to be baptized at 8 years old by my stepfather. I had to go to the temple and all that stuff and the visiting center, and I went through the whole thing. I know what they're all about.
Sean, let me just play the devil's advocate for a moment here.
Okay.
Okay, I don't agree with Mormon theology either. I know that many have strong family values, but I don't agree with Mormon theology. Obviously, I don't want to hear Joseph Smith preach, but let's take Mitt Romney. You wouldn't even know he's a Mormon. I mean, he's not putting that forward. What makes you think that that would influence him as a president, or that he'd be trying
because
to advance Mormonism as a president?
Because being a Mormon is very important to them. That's their number one thing, and they want to see a Mormon up there as president. They mm-hmm. think that God has sent him there to be president, and it's very
but you'd be okay, Sean, with an evangelical Christian feeling that God
right.
had sent them to be president.
Yeah, it would.
Okay,
because
it's
the truth of God.
All right, hey, yeah, Sean, I appreciate you weighing in very much, and you've made yourself very clear. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Jasper in Houston, Texas, what's your take on this?
Yes, sir, thank you for having me, Michael. I wouldn't vote for a Mormon. I've actually witnessed to Mormons in the past, and I'm very well aware that they don't believe in our values, and that's just my basis of it.
Okay, so what values, don't they hold strongly to family values that are similar, and didn't Mormons helping California to uphold marriage by standing up for Prop 8. They got a lot of flack for that.
Let me clarify what I mean by values. I am biblically literate. Therefore, I read the Bible and I understand it. And when I say I've, you know, witnessed to Mormons, I'm very well that their beliefs of the Bible are not what the Bible actually states or what it says. And that's what I mean. I mean, it's like integrity. If somebody claims that they believe a certain thing and they say that they believe what you believe, but you know the truth of the matter, and that's what I'm talking about. It's, you know, you read
all right,
the Bible,
so let me play the devil's advocate for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you saying that your beliefs are going to affect your morality, or are you saying that a Mormon would try to proselytize others by putting forward heretical beliefs?
I would say that the Mormons, they claim to be Christian, but they're not. I mean, yes, obviously they would try to. Matter of fact, I try to evangelize to Mormons. They try to, of course, they evangelize you in what they believe, and I don't agree with what they believe. It doesn't concur with what the Bible says. And I couldn't, in good faith, vote for a Mormon in the office.
Yep. All right. All clear, Jasper. I appreciate you weighing in very clearly as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Elizabeth in the Bronx, what's your take?
Yes, no, I would not vote for a Mormon. Obviously, as the previous caller stated, that Mormons believe that basically they can be gods. And obviously, yes, an evangelical Christian president that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would not take that stand. And obviously, they would definitely have faults and failures, as all of us do as Christians. Mm-hmm. But I would obviously recognize a man of God that represents Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
All right, and, hey, let me just jump in because I've got a break coming up. Would you vote for an atheist?
No, sir.
Okay,
absolutely.
Got it. So I understand you're being consistent in that. Elizabeth, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we've got a yes here, so I'll get to these calls. Hang in there. I want to get to everybody that I can. 866-34-TRUTH or weigh in at Ask Dr. Brown. By the way, go to townhall.com. Just posted an article. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? I think this will be an eye-opener for you. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? So go to townhall.com. Just posted that moments ago. And when you go there, make sure you click on recommend on Facebook or to tweet it, or just right under my name, click like for Facebook. This will just get this message out to more people. All right. One of the most misunderstood concepts today is separation of church and state. The concept of the separation of church and state has been totally turned upside down in our day to the point that many Americans are calling for freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion. And our religious freedoms are under fire like never before. Christian students on campuses have been told they cannot publicly share their faith. Atheists are taking legal action against the National Day of Prayer. The courts have decided that homosexual rights trump religious rights. There is an entire course we had, 6 hours of teaching by a senior attorney with the Alliance Defenseman, Joe Infranco, a dear friend of mine for many years, on the separation of church and state, also catching you up on key cases taking place in America today. It's all on one CD. It normally sells for $25 plus postage, but we want to send it to you for $10 postage paid so you can get this entire class that Joe Infranco taught on the separation of church and state, going through historical documents, current cases, very eye-opening, very practical. Just $10, we'll pay the postage. It's normally $25 plus postage. So great deal today, a great resource. Share it with your friends when you get it. You can listen to it on your computer or your MP3 player. But call today to order. The number is 1-800-278-9978. That's separation of church and state, Joe Infranco, 1-800-278-9978. Or if you go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the line of fire, you can order there. So one more time, separation of church and state, $10 postage paid for the entire six-hour class. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. Okay, friends, a reminder, regardless of who we have as president, Jesus is Lord of all. That's number one. And number two, because authority and power come from God, our elected officials are people that we honor and respect. If I talk to a police officer, I say, sir or ma'am, out of respect for that office, even if they're half my age, how much more the leader of our country, even if I have profound disagreement with choices that are made. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Talking about a bunch of things, but focusing on the question, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? Now, you may have issues with Mitt Romney himself, but your issues may not be that he's a Mormon. This continues to be a topic that elicits lots of comments, especially over the weekend. First Baptist of Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffress, introduced Rick Perry at a Values Voter Summit, and then afterwards was asked privately his views about Mormonism at Romney, and he explained that it's a cult. He came under attack for that. Bill Bennett got up and addressed the issue later and spoke about bigotry. Hugh Hewitt, these are both men whose writings and work I respect immensely. Hugh Hewitt has written on this a few years ago. A Mormon in the White House was a book of his, and he's addressed this and the need to overcome anti-Mormon bigotry. Is it anti-Mormon bigotry? Is it sound biblical reasoning? Is it simply logic? 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go back to the phones, let's just listen to a little bit more of Robert Jeffress interacting with folks on Fox about some of these very issues.
Well, by that account, then, Barack Obama is a Christian. And then if you're saying that if he were running against Mitt Romney, he wouldn't be a Christian if he's a Mormon, right?
That's right. And the reason I would probably select Mitt Romney over Barack Obama is I do think being an evangelical or a Christian is important, but it's not the only criteria by which we select a leader. I personally would rather have a non-Christian like Mitt Romney, who at least embraces some biblical principles, than a professing Christian like Barack Obama, who embraces unbiblical principles.
There
like
are those
abortion.
Who believe your statements hurt Rick Perry because this thrusts religion back into the spotlight again. Of course, the discussion had been over the economy. Let me play for you what Bill Bennett, as you brought up, did say about this and called it bigotry. Take a listen.
I would say to Pastor Jeffress, you stepped on and obscured the words of Perry and Santorum and Kane and Bachman and everyone else who has spoken here. You did Rick Perry no good, sir, in what you had to say. Do not give voice to bigotry. Do not give voice to bigotry.
Your response?
If it's bigotry to say we should prefer evangelical Christians to non-Christians, then John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was a bigot because he said we have as our duty to prefer and select Christians as our leaders.
You know, I want to listen. Your friend yesterday, Governor Mike Huckabee, who was on the show, you guys are friends, and spoke highly of you, said, though, that he doesn't think that a person's faith should be on a person's mind when they go into the ballot box to make a decision, that a person's convictions should. What drives that person should be something that's a matter of fact for them when they go in to vote for someone, but not their faith. What do you say to that?
Well, I love Mike. He is a wonderful friend. He wrote the foreword to my new book. But I would say religion is a very much a part of the discussion because our religion defines who we are. It's the very essence of who we are. And to say you can compartmentalize your faith from your behavior, I think is really ridiculous. I do believe, guys, religion is going to be a part of the discussion in 2012. We ought to be able to talk about it in a sane, rational way. And I believe this will be a continuing discussion.
Are you? All right. I think Pastor Jeffress did a terrific job there. You know, as someone who's used to debating, as someone obviously in the media with my own radio show, and then this morning I was on another radio show, actually a Christian host, a black Christian host, who really takes exception to gays saying that they are the new civil rights movement. I was on with a very well-spoken author of a book in favor of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we were having a debate on someone else's show this morning. So I'm constantly in front of a live audience, And sometimes I listen to other people answers like, oh, there is a better answer. Because I really like the way Pastor Jeffress handled himself. And I agree, you're not going to separate religious or non-religious beliefs from the rest of your life. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So one of our callers said that she would not vote for a Mormon. She also said she would not vote for an atheist. I didn't have time to ask her more questions, but those two answers told me enough that a person's faith or lack thereof is very important to her, who they are, what they represent. Now, if I knew for a fact that someone was wonderfully plugged into God, I mean, I knew this person well. I had walked with them for years and years in the Lord. I saw their integrity. I saw how their faith and their walk with God helped them to make wise decisions and moral decisions. And I saw them as an anointed leader. And then God called them into politics. Then that would matter to me because it's part of their whole life. If they merely professed one faith versus another one, it would be a very secondary or tertiary interest to me. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Would you vote for a Mormon to be president? Let me get to some yeses before I hear some more noes. James in Springfield, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I would vote for a Mormon. In fact, I kind of like Mitt Romney in some ways, but when I vote, I try to look at the person's character as well as their positions, and I'm not an extremely adept political person, but a lot of issues are confusing, but I would. I don't think that we should be taking John Jay's little quotation out of context when we go to the poll booth.
All right, so James, let me ask you something. With the callers who said they wouldn't vote for a Mormon, I took the other side for a moment. Let me just ask you a couple of questions then. Would you vote for, say, a Muslim or a Hindu to be president if you thought their policies were good otherwise?
Yes, I would. Yep.
Okay, so what would ultimately be the bottom line that you're looking for in a presidential candidate?
Like I said, the overall character, I know it's probably a bad example, but I look backwards in time at, say, like President Clinton. I know he's very beloved, but, you know, he had some obvious flaws that revealed themselves, and I think that it didn't make the president and the office look very good. So
right.
We're not... Jesus is not on the ticket, unfortunately, so I can't vote for Jesus himself.
Right. James, let me say this one thing, and I've talked about it, written about it, the myth of a political savior. We sometimes look for a person almost as if it is Jesus that's going to be in the White House. This is the one, the man, the woman that's going to turn it all around. And our political system being what it is, the fact that you've got the houses of Congress, the fact that you've got the two major parties, the fact that you've got political bickering, the fact that you have lifetime politicians, the fact that you have so many people voting different ways, the fact that the person's in office 4 years or max 8 years, it's wrong to put our trust in a person on that level, although by all means we should be actively and wisely involved in the political process. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me get another yes before I get some more no's. Phil in Fredericksburg, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
Sure thing.
Now, the main thing is we're not trying to set up a theocracy. We're trying to pick a president who will lead us out of this recession. And quite honestly, the evangelical monopoly on the Republican Party has to be crushed in order for people with policies instead of people pandering to religious voters get into office.
Do me a favor, just define theocracy for me.
Theocracy is where the church or a religious system rules over the people.
and rules in such a way that they're enforcing their religion. In other words, it's not a matter of if we had, say, a majority of Jews or a majority of Muslims or a majority of evangelical Christians who held political offices. That's not the issue. The issue is to then enforce religion on a nation. And, for example, you would have, you know, mandatory church or mosque attendance or else. Or you would have, right. Oh, if the Bible says this or the Quran says this, then everyone has to follow it. Okay, let me ask you another question, Phil. And, of course, I'm with you on the theocracy issue. When Jesus returns, we'll have a theocracy and not before.
Right.
When you said we need a president to lead us out of a recession, what if people said, look, I'm more concerned with moral issues, and I believe unless our moral issues are fixed, that we'll never have our economy fixed. Could you see that as a valid perspective, separated from a theocracy?
No, I couldn't. And let's take a look at Rick Perry having the massive prayer. What did that do? That did absolutely nothing. In fact, if you want to take it into a supernatural perspective, it actually made things worse. I mean, with the fires going on and things. I mean,
all right, but hang on. You just made a jump that I didn't make, and that's why I'm probing this for a second with you, Phil. I said moral issues. You immediately said religious. We'll put aside whether the prayer helped or not. We'll make that a separate subject, okay? But in other words, I am absolutely pro-life, and I believe that the slaughter of the unborn in the womb is a blight on America. I'm absolutely pro-gender distinction and therefore against the redefinition of marriage, and I'd be that way because of the Bible and separate from the Bible. So when I go to vote, in the days of slavery, I would have been passionately against slavery. Those are passionate moral issues to me. I'm against human trafficking. I believe a lot of economic issues have moral basis. So why can't I vote based on my morality without you interpreting that as me trying to impose a religious belief?
Well, the thing is that we don't need moral issues solved right now. Those can be put off to the side. The main thing that we need to focus on now is jobs and jobs. That's about it.
All right. Well, what
people
if
people with the experience?
All right. So what if though it's there are roots of things? Or let me ask you one last question. And Phil, I love the fact that you're differing with me. That's what makes the world go around right here. But question for you. Let's say during the days of slavery, if we were also in a recession and you had a pro-slavery candidate and an anti-slavery candidate, could you see someone saying, look, jobs are important, but those are human lives. Those people are being enslaved against their will. This is an abomination. We have to fix this. And we'll never get our economy fixed until we fix this. Could you accept someone doing that?
No. The thing is that that shouldn't be the entire 4 years. Just like Obama's 4 years was healthcare and the DREAM Act. We don't want the president doing one thing, focusing on one subject.
But you just told me you did, though. You just said it's recession and jobs, didn't you? You just said that's the only thing that matters.
There are no moral issues at hand as the atrocity is leveled to the same amount as slavery.
Maybe abortion is just as atrocious. It's over 50 million babies slaughtered in the womb. Hey, tell you what, Phil, when you get a chance, but thank you for calling. If I didn't have all the calls lines jammed, I'd talk to you further. But when you get a chance, go to townhall.com and read my article. It's The Morality Stupid. And then drop me a line. Tell me your thoughts on it. But thank you for calling and differing. I appreciate it very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Jennifer in King George, Virginia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
Well, you know, initially when I called, I was, you know, my thoughts were, oh, I definitely would not vote for someone who is Mormon or atheist or anything else other than a Christian, because I'm Christian and I believe in Jesus Christ, and, you know, this nation was built on the principles from the Bible. But as I sat and held the line, you know, my thoughts were kind of wavering.
Uh-huh.
Only because, you know, like you were saying, if you knew the candidate, you knew their history, you knew their background, you knew that they were totally hooked up with Jesus and morally correct, then okay, if they're in the political arena, they would definitely have your vote. But, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking, you really don't know where you're getting. You know, other than the research that you can do with what's put out there.
Right. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, this is it's good to get people thinking. That's what I want to do on the show, and that's why we're airing both sides. And it's going to be something
well,
we have to look
I
at.
Every time I listen to your show, you know, initially you'll throw your question out there, and I'll be thinking one thing. And a lot of times before it's over, I'm really, really thinking. So I appreciate what you do. I appreciate that, you know, you provoke us to dig deeper than our feelings.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, that I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm thrilled to hear that I get you thinking. And then obviously the goal is not even to convince you necessarily of my point, but to encourage people to continue to think the issues through. So thanks for calling. And over these next months, hopefully we'll come to some firm conclusions together. You know, not so much on vote for this person or that person, but how to make our decisions in terms of who we vote for. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, great. The lines are evenly divided between yeses and noes. So I'll get to as many calls as I can in the next segment. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Talked about a few different things at the beginning of the broadcast, but now spent the bulk of the broadcast focusing on the question, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? I have said that if there was a black person or a white person or an Asian person, or a Hispanic person or a Native American voting for the running for the White House and everything else was equal, none of those things would matter whatsoever. Although it would be an amazing thing to see an American Indian in the White House, wouldn't it? Native American. But if it was Jew versus Gentile, that wouldn't matter to me in terms of how I voted. If it was male versus female and everything was equal, I believe God has primarily entrusted headship to men, governmental headship, but I would rather have a moral, godly female leader than a male leader whose values I didn't trust. If it was between an evangelical Christian who was a committed Christian and a committed Mormon, I would rather have a committed Christian than a committed Mormon in. However, if the person they were running against let's not say Mitt Romney, because I have other questions about Mr. Romney. So we'll just put that separate. Let's say it was a Mormon who held to many of the same values I did in terms of morality and who was pro-Israel and who seemed to be a solid leader, running against someone who claimed to be a Christian but, say, had a strong anti-Israel policy and was pro-abortion and pro-same-sex marriage and things like that, then I would vote for the Mormon rather than that person. So there are other factors involved. And, by the way, there's not necessarily a right and wrong here, okay? This is a personal choice you have to make, but as we discuss it, it's helping others think these issues through, hopefully helping you think them through as well. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I had said that I would not vote for a Mormon. Now, I wanted to clarify that if I were given a choice, that there was a Christian, a bona fide Christian against a Mormon, I would vote for the Christian. I would not vote for the Mormon because I think that Mormons deny Jesus Christ. And as you mentioned earlier, Mormons can be very good people, and I believe in that. But when it comes to our nation's leaders, I think we need more than just a good man or good woman. I believe we need someone that draws from the wisdom that comes from a good relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's I believe that our moral issues are tied to the issues of our nation. One of the callers previously said that he didn't believe we needed moral issues, that we need jobs, jobs, jobs. And I would have to ask him, how in the world do you separate our moral worldview from the issues of our nation or for our society? I don't see that you can do that because based on our moral worldview, we make our decisions.
Yeah, and John, certainly morality affects everything else in the economy. There's no question about it. And then from a spiritual perspective, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. Thank you, John, for weighing in clearly. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Francis in Livingston, New Jersey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. Hello, doctor. I would vote for a Mormon, but your order of voting is exactly my order of voting. I would prefer a devout Christian. So you've already covered that issue. A Mormon would be my preference over a lukewarm Christian who did promote abortion, etc. But, and as the gentleman that just called in, if we don't get our moral issues in order, this country is never going to survive or have an economic recovery. But I did want to say one thing. If, you know, to the gentleman who called in about fix the economy, if we don't have somebody who lives their life, you know, running our country that goes by the word of the scripture, we will have people in office that will force their ideals and rules as far as how many children we can have, forced abortion, you know, maybe birth control in the water. So morality does play a big part, but you cannot separate the two. You must have a moral leader in this country that follows the scriptures, or this country will not survive. And that's
all right.
All
hey, Francis, thank you for weighing in. I guess the question would be, which of our recent presidents would you put in that category? Strong, committed Christian who made decisions for the nation based on godly principles. Which of our presidents in recent memory would you put in that category? Howard in Long Branch, New Jersey. We're a little short on time, but I wanted to get your call in, so dive in, please.
Okay, I have a quick question, a scenario. Let's say we have two people running for president. One either is a non-Christian and or an agnostic, but is a really smart guy, knows about economy, is great in foreign policy, et cetera, or have somebody who we're looking for as a leader in this country. On the other hand, the other candidate is a devout Christian, has no idea about the economic situation, doesn't know anything about worldly situations. Who would people vote for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would hope it would be the former, unless, Howard, this Christian had such an amazing wisdom to know what they couldn't do that they surrounded themselves with the greatest.
But that's not the question. But you can't change the question.
I'm answering it because it's not one dimensional. In other words,
the way you posed it,
voting for president of the United States, I would vote for the former rather than the latter, unless the latter had that particular quality to surround himself.
This is the point. The point is your scenarios are all about Christians. You see,
Howard, I did say this though. I said the person would have to have strong morality and have strong leadership qualities, and then if those things were equal, then the Christian part would be of influence to me. But if they weren't equal, but listen, Howard, I'm out of time. I'd love to talk with you more. Wednesdays are always a good day to weigh in on this. But again, to answer your question, I would vote for the former based on your simple scenario. Thank you, though, for calling and wish we had more time. All right. Very fair question indeed. Totally fair question. And one we need to think about. Because, look, if you're going to say, well, maybe you're white. You say, well, blacks, they all just always immediately vote Democrat. Or Jews, they always vote Democrat. Then someone who's non-Christian could say, well, Christians, you always automatically vote Christian. Well, there's no other issue. So perfectly fair question. All right. The special resource this week is so relevant and so important. A six-hour class by attorney Joe Infranco, who's one of the senior attorneys with the Alliance Defense Fund. This is 2,000 lawyers across the country and around the world standing up for righteousness. He did a tremendous teaching on separation of church and state. What do the historical documents say? What does the Constitution say? Does it address it? Where do we get these ideas from? How is this playing out in the courts today? It's only $25 plus postage for the six-hour class. You can get it this week for $10, postage paid, so we can get it into as many hands as possible. You can listen to it on your computer or CD player. Separation of Church and State, very eye-opening. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978 to order Separation of Church and State class. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, as we get further and further into the political season, as we get further and further into the race for president, let us keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And let us remember that we as believers are the salt. We as believers are the light. The president is important, but there's only so much the president can do. I've got some perspectives I want to share with you about the weekend news, but I've also got a question for you. Would you vote for a Mormon to be president?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Early this morning, well, early for me, it was 9 in the morning, but since I go to sleep between 3 and 4 often, it was early for me. I had the joy of debating the author of a book that was in favor of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a professor who's been an expert witness on the subject, openly gay himself. We had the pleasure of debating on Jesse Lee Peterson's radio show. I'm hoping to get the author, Dr. Nathaniel Frank, to join me on the air here on The Line of Fire one of these days. But that got me thinking about lots of other issues. I want to talk to you about some of them today on The Line of Fire. And I want to get your take on the question, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? All things being equal, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? You may think of the current Mormon, Mitt Romney, or you may think of a John Huntsman, a Republican candidate in Utah, would obviously have Mormon support being in Utah, but would you vote for a Mormon? If you are a Mormon, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? If you're not a Mormon, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? We'll be talking about that, taking your calls through the show, and I've got a bunch of other things to discuss with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In a moment, I want to play a clip for you from Senator Rick Santorum that has to do with repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So it's Monday. We're catching up on a lot of things here on The Line of Fire, and then we'll focus on the question about Mitt Romney, which has come up over the weekend and is in the headlines today. But some other items first. This was posted last Thursday, and just getting to it today, evangelical chaplains refuse to marry gay couples on military bases. An organization representing more than 2,000 of the nation's 5,000 military chaplains, this is posted in Christian Post, an organization representing more than 2,000 of the nation's 5,000 military chaplains announced Wednesday they would join forces with Catholic Archbishop Timothy Broglio of the Archdiocese for Military Service, saying they will not perform same-sex ceremonies. Of course, it's outrageous that anyone's being authorized to conduct same-sex ceremonies on military bases because of the Defense of Marriage Act, but this is part of what's going on. The 2,000 members of the Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty, a group of evangelical clergy, are concerned about the Pentagon's memorandum issued 10 days after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal took effect that authorizes chaplains to officiate any private ceremony. So things are stirring up in that regard as well. And then last week, I read with approval an ad that was in the National Post in Canada with a little girl saying, please don't confuse me. Please don't make me wonder, am I a boy, am I a girl, am I transgender, am I bisexual? Please, I've got enough things I'm trying to sort out. And it was before elections in Canada. And the National Post, sad to say, published an apology for running the ad. Early this week, the National Post ran an advertisement that has caused some controversy. The ad, bought by the Institute for Canadian Values, argued against aspects of the Canadian of the Ontario school curriculum that include instruction about certain aspects of human sexuality. Specifically, it objected to teaching young children, those between junior kindergarten and grade 3, about transsexual, transgender, intersex, two-spirited issues. Come on. You have to object to this? Being taught from junior kindergarten, so pre-K to grade 3, about transsexual, transgender, intersex, two-spirited? That's the Native American or Native Canadian approach to this. The National Post has procedures in place for vetting the content of advertising, especially advocacy advertising. The procedures are intended to ensure that such ads meet a standard of tone and respect that is consistent with furthering constructive dialogue about important public policy issues. In this case, those procedures were not followed. an ad that should not have run in its proposed form was allowed to run. This ad will not run in the National Post again, where the ad exceeded the bounds of civil discourse, was in its tone and manipulative use of a picture of a young girl. Oh, I'll finish this. Oh, I will finish this when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, yes or no, would you vote for a Mormon to be president? The particular Mormon getting most of the attention, of course, is Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney. You may have other issues with Mitt Romney, so I want to ask this in a generic way. Would you vote for a Mormon? In particular, I'd love to hear from our friends. I know there are Mormons all over America, but in particular, our friends listening in Salt Lake City and thereabouts. If you're a Mormon, would you vote for a Mormon? Or if you live around Mormons and you're not a Mormon, would you vote for a Mormon? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I want to cover a couple of other issues, and then I'm going to get to your call. So the National Post in Ontario apologizes for running an ad where a little girl is pictured as saying, please don't confuse me by making me wonder, am I a boy, am I a girl, am I transsexual, transgender, intersex, two-spirited? And this is for kids between pre-kindergarten and grade 3. So what, ages 4 through 7, 8? The National Post. So the National Post, after running this ad, apologizes for it. I wonder, I'm not living in Canada, but I'll have to check with some of our friends that are based in Canada. If you're listening in Canada, help me out with this. Tell me what pro-gay ads the National Post has run, if they have. Where the ad exceeded the bounds of civil discourse was in its tone. Tone? Little girl saying, please don't confuse me. And manipulative use of a picture of a young girl. And the suggestion that such teaching corrupts children with everything that such a charge implies, and it's singling out of groups of people with whose sexuality the group disagrees. It's not manipulative to have a little girl, 4 or 5 years old, being taught about, you might be two-spirited, you might be transgendered. What do the kids even understand about this? It's manipulative doing this to little kids in schools, and the parents can't even opt out. And the teacher may talk about it at any particular day. That's manipulative. The fact that we will not be publishing this ad again represents a recognition on our part that publishing it in the first place will be a mistake. And they go on with an apology. Oh, listen to this. The Post will also be donating the proceeds from the advertisement to an organization that promotes the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered people. This is one of the most outrageous things I have read out of the many outrageous things I have read. And if you want to see the unbelievable double standard that's out there, this is it. This is it. You know, it's like showing a picture of an aborted baby and saying, well, that was very manipulative. Well, that's what happens in an abortion clinic. This is unreal. This is what's happening in our society. It's why we sound the alarm week in, week out here on the Line of Fire. It's why we encourage you to turn to God and believe him for revival in the church, sparking moral and cultural revolution, because this is the kind of stuff going on. I'm, you know, normally as soon as I read an item, I toss it. I'm leaving this on my desk. I'm going to read it again during another hour tomorrow. Okay, one more related comment, and then we'll go to your call. So hang in there. Let's see. All right, we're nicely divided on our callers. I want to get to every one of you, so please be patient. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, let's listen to what Rick Santorum had to say when challenged about gays serving openly in the military, something we brought up right at the beginning of the show.
Senator, do you think Mormonism is a cult?
No, I don't.
Do you think that Mitt Romney, contrary to
okay.
what...
Okay, right, hang on. Let me just jump in there. All right, Joey, my apologies. I was looking for a different part of the clip, but you found the one that is more relevant. So we're not going to discuss Rick Santorum's comments about gays in the military right now. Let's start that clip again to hear Senator Santorum weigh in on this. My bad. Thanks, Joey. Let's play that again.
Senator, do you think Mormonism is a cult?
No, I don't.
Do you think that Mitt Romney, contrary to what this Dallas pastor, Robert Jeffress, said at the Values Voter, do you think that Mitt Romney is a true Christian?
Mitt Romney is a true Christian. He says he's a Christian. I believe he says Christian. I'm not an expert on Mormonism. All I know is that every Mormon I know is a good and decent person, has great moral values, and is by and large, exception of Harry Reid, by and large pretty consistent in the values that I share and the things I want to see happen to this country, and that's what he should be judged on.
Okay, and the couple
right,
minutes
so,
we have left.
Yeah, so we'll jump in right there. That's his take. Robert Jeffress, pastor, First Baptist in Dallas. We played some of his clips in the first hour. Won't replay them now, but he's very eloquent, very clear-headed, and very gracious in his communication. He introduced Rick Perry at the Values Voter Summit that took place over the last few days, and afterwards was asked specifically about his views concerning Mitt Romney and Mormonism, and he explained that Mormonism is a cult. Bill Bennett came up later and chastised him for that and said that he hurt Rick Perry in making those comments. Well, he didn't make them before in his introduction. He made them when asked privately later. He explained he's not talking about a sociological cult, but rather a theological cult. In any case, the discussion is getting heated. I was just looking over townhall.com. Janet Mefford has weighed in with her own view. And Janet's article there on townhall.com is, let me scroll down to it, in defense of Robert Jeffress, Mormonism is not Christianity. In fact, immediately beneath that is my article, which I encourage you to go to. So go to townhall.com when you have a second, read Janet's article. And immediately beneath that, my new article is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage. Trust me, it'll get you thinking. So read that as you have the opportunity. So it raises the larger issues. Would you vote for a Mormon? All things being equal, or would that be a deciding factor either way for you? And to read a quote again that I did from an article earlier by Tim Stanley, the new ugly debate about Mitt Romney's Mormon faith will only push him closer to the nomination. Tim Stanley said this, true, there is a small but significant minority who say they would never vote for a Mormon. According to Gallup, it's around 22% of the population, but opposition to Mormonism doesn't come from conservative evangelicals or Catholics. On the contrary, Gallup's polls show that it's a liberal thing. Only 7% of Baptists and Catholics wouldn't vote for a Mormon, compared with 32% of gays and 49% of atheists. Amusingly, the figure is also much, much higher among Mormons at 22%. That's right. 22% of Mormons would never vote for a Mormon. Perhaps they know something we don't. So based on the polling data, assuming it's accurate, 49% of atheists would not vote for a Mormon. So they have a problem with God, a hostility to the view that there is a God. And I guess in their mind, Mormons are kookier than others. It's crazy enough to believe the Bible. It's even crazier to believe the Book of Mormon. I guess that's how they're thinking. 32% of gays wouldn't vote for a Mormon. Now, what's fascinating is that perhaps these atheists and gays would turn right around to us and say, well, how can you vote for someone because they're an evangelical Christian? How could you? That's just wrong. Well, isn't it equally wrong to say you wouldn't vote for the person based on them being a Mormon and saying you're an atheist or gay? But 32% of gays, okay, 32% of gays said that they wouldn't vote for a Mormon. Now, I assume it's because of the Mormon Church's strong stance, relatively strong stance about homosexuality, and the fact that the gay community is very upset with the Mormons for helping uphold marriage in California, standing for Prop 8. In any case, 32% of gays polled said they wouldn't vote for a Mormon. Would you? 866-34-TRUTH. Gail in Randolph, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello,
am I,
Gail,
on the air?
Oh, you are on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't vote for a Mormon for various reasons. And I basically, my belief is you are what you're taught. And being from Massachusetts and knowing how Mitt Romney was as a governor, I would definitely not vote for a Mormon, or at least this particular Mormon, because he was an absentee governor. He was definitely a 100% absentee governor, and he used that political platform to be able to use that as a sounding board for him to run for president, basically.
Now, Gail, let me just ask this. I mentioned in the first hour a 600-page book that Amy Contrada of Mass Resistance wrote, Mitt Romney's Deception, where she says that as governor he was, say, you know, pro same-sex marriage and pro abortion and other things like that. That's a major question to be asked, but we'll put that aside. Do you feel that his Mormonism negatively influenced him as governor, or simply the fact that you just didn't like the way he governed?
Both. Okay. Because you are what you're taught. It's simple and it's basic. You are what you're taught. When you grow up in a certain environment, you carry that with you into your adulthood, because that's learned behavior. That's learned behavior.
Right. All right. Hey, Gail.
And the only time he showed up was when a fatality happened in the Big Dig here in Massachusetts, where a section of the ceiling came down and crushed a woman in a car.
Got it. His governorship, being an absentee governor, and in your view, that being due to his Mormonism as well. All right, thank you for weighing in, Gail. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Would you vote for a Mormon to be president? In a few minutes, I'm going to give you my approach, how I'd look at this subject. I want to get some feedback from you first. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You'll also see resources there that are relevant for today's show. And on another note, I encourage you to read a new article just posted on Town Hall. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? In fact, I want to address some of those issues on Wednesday. I'm talking about polygamy, talking about why is it so wrong and how does it compare with same-sex marriage. But we'll talk about some interesting things on Wednesday. I may ask you a question or two about your views, and it's whichever side you're on, I may want to try to understand a bit more. So I'm not taking sides in my questions. All right. Jeanette in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. And may I ask if you're a Mormon yourself?
I was born and raised Mormon. My whole family's Mormon, but I'm the only Christian.
All right. And how long has that been?
I left in 98.
Okay, so you make a clear distinction between being a Christian and being a Mormon, and your perspective
Absolutely.
On whether you would vote for a Mormon.
I would not vote for a Mormon. John Huntsman is not as strict a Mormon, but I would not vote for a Mormon primarily because they have a prophecy that they believe that the nation will be hanging by a thread and the Mormon church is going to come and save the day. They are not able to make decisions apart from their prophet. Even Mitt Romney, he's fooling himself if he says that he could, if the prophet said one thing and told him to do one thing and the American people were telling him to do another, he is fooling himself to say that he would choose the way of the American people.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate here for a moment. When John F. Kennedy was elected as our first Catholic president, perhaps people had concerns that he might have to do what the Pope told him to do, or he couldn't be his own man because of Catholic dogma. Obviously, that didn't prove to be an issue. Why are you convinced that it would be different with a Mormon?
What I know about Catholic faith is that you can be a Catholic and not be if you were a Catholic that was beholden to the Pope so much that you couldn't make decisions without the Pope's okaying of it, I certainly wouldn't vote for a Catholic. But Mormons are so beholden to their prophet, they cannot make decisions that go contrary to what the prophet would say.
I'm with you on that. So in your view, it would be quite distinct from your average Catholic and who's not even thinking along those lines, or what is the Pope saying of this? Hey, Jeanette, thanks for weighing in from your unique perspective being raised in the Mormon Church. If you're a Mormon and you take issue with what she said, you feel that that was biased or misleading or untrue, feel free to call in. In fact, we have one line open waiting for you, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see, Lawrence in Hollywood, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
You hear Mormonism and cult, but you never hear the definitions. I did a study on this. The founder, Joseph Smith, in 1820, upstate New York, he said, listen to this, he said the Father and Jesus Christ appeared to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of their beliefs is that Jesus is a God. He is created, he earned salvation, and was not virgin born. Salvation is by works, no biblical atonement, and salvation is possible after death.
Yeah, there's no question, Lawrence, that Mormonism qualifies as a cult. No question about it. So, sir, how would that affect you voting, or would it?
Well, it would, because remember now, God sets up kings and takes them down. He's mm-hmm. going to put in there whomever he wants.
Right.
And I would vote for a Mormon. It would be the lesser of the two evils. The most important thing, you know, other than being born again, is the economy of the country. Now, I would vote for somebody, you know, whom I think is most eligible.
And Lawrence, do you think that we can separate the moral climate of America from the economic situation in America?
Well, they are different. What do you mean by separate?
Well, in other words, morals, bad moral choices can have economic implications, or if we're morally sinning against God, that can remove blessing. I'm just asking your view on it.
Sort of in the gray area.
Got it. All right. Lawrence, I appreciate you weighing in with those specifics. By the way, I wrote an article a few weeks back called It's the Morality Stupid, saying that with the famous line that was given from James Carville to Bill Clinton, it's the economy stupid. Focus on that to say, hey, you can't really separate economics from morality. So it's on townhall.com. You might want to check it out. But Lawrence, thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let me get one more quick call. Mike in Kernersville, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, but please dive in.
Dr. Brown, this is Mike. I hope you're doing well today.
I'm blessed. Thank you.
I was going to chime in on Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney would be a very good president. I think he would be much better than President Obama. I think he has a lot of experience. I think he did a very good job as governor. He's a moderate, so I think he would get the moderate vote, and I think he would be very successful. However, I am a Christian. I've always been a Christian, and I would not vote for a Mormon just because I think if you say, well, we'll have a Mormon president, you know, where does it stop? The next, you say, well, we'll have a homosexual president.
Mike, you'd have a problem then with a Hindu president or a Muslim president?
Yes, sir.
Got it. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, you can weigh in with your comments online. There's a lively discussion taking place on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. Looking at several dozen comments there. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. We have a wonderful resource at a ridiculously low price this week. It's a six-hour class taught by Joan Franco, a senior attorney with the Alliance Defense Fund, on the separation of church and state. Maybe in the next half hour I'll share some other shocking things going on. But, I mean, we have such a twisting of that in our culture today that it's freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion. Joan Franco goes through our historical documents where we get this concept from of separation of church and state, and then takes you into the courtrooms with key cases going on today. It's only $25, which is a great price for the 6 hours on one CD. But it's $10 this week, plus we'll pay the postage. So you save well over 60%, and you can listen to it on your computer, MP3 player. But call today to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the class on the separation of church and state. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. When we come back, my own views about whether I would vote for a Mormon. Stay with us. Same.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Over the weekend, there was some controversy that began to stir over the question of Mormonism. Is Mormonism a cult? And should Christians vote, evangelical Christians, for Mormons? Interesting question, something that we need to talk about, the possibility of Mitt Romney being a presidential candidate. Hugh Hewitt wrote a book a few years ago about a Mormon in the White House. He and Bill Bennett, men whose work I tremendously respect, have talked about anti-Mormon bigotry. Now, Andrew, I don't need some water. Let me just tell you what happened here. I, right during the break, was chewing on some energy chews. And, you know, they're very, I don't know what happened. I took a little water afterwards, and something must have just gotten stuck in the wrong pipe. You know what it is going down. So I'm choked up just to be on the air with all of you. So tell you what, everybody take like 10 seconds. 10 seconds, all right? Clear your throats while I do the same. There we go. Feeling like a new man already. See, that worked. Okay, so Pastor Robert Jeffress, Pastor First Baptist in Dallas, again, just to review this briefly, introduced Rick Perry at the Value Voters Summit, and he did not mention Mormonism as a cult. He didn't bring that up then. Afterwards, he was asked about his views privately, shared them, and then there's been some opposition to his comments and, well, is Mormonism a cult or not, or should it matter? Let's say we agree Mormonism is a cult and is not authentic biblical Christianity. Should that matter when you go to the voting booth? 866-34-TRUTH. You know, we face the race issue over and over, and, you know, and I'm really enjoying Herman Cain these days. I'm really liking what he has to say and his strong pro-life stance and other things like that and how he carries himself, and it so bothers me that anyone would dare say, oh, if you differ with Mr. Obama, you must be racist. But if you like Herman Cain, that proves nothing. Come on. You know, I was reading an article by Katie Pavlich, also on townhall.com, and she said Al Sharpton gets civil rights history wrong. And later in the article, she quotes African-American Alonzo Rachel, who says the Democrat Party has been the pro-slavery party, the pro-segregation party, the anti-civil rights party, but the majority of the black community votes Democrat. I so hope, that we can get past these issues and focus on the issues, not the color of someone's skin, because that's not the issue. So if I was voting, and I was voting between a black person or a white person or someone with red skin or someone with yellow skin, if I was voting between Hispanic and Asian, Native American, Caucasian, black, that would be utterly immaterial to me. Everything that would matter would be the issues involved. Although it would be amazing to see a Native American in the White House. If I was voting between Jew or Gentile, that would not matter to me. What would matter to me would be where this person stands on issues that are important to me and what kind of leader this person is. If everything was equal and it was a man versus a woman, this may stir up a little controversy here, I would vote for the man versus the woman if everything was equal simply because I believe primarily that God has put governmental headship in male hands, although in a heartbeat. I would vote for a strong woman leader who was a qualified leader and had a solid moral base, as opposed to a man whose morals I differed with and who wasn't a solid leader. I'd do that in a heartbeat, and I'd look for another Deborah or Margaret Thatcher, etc. If I was voting between two people, and everything was equal in terms of their leadership qualities and abilities, and one was an evangelical Christian, one was a Mormon, I would vote for the evangelical Christian. I would hope it would ultimately glorify the name of Jesus, and hope that his relationship with God and his solid biblical base would help him or her in the White House. But I would vote for a Mormon whose leadership skills I respect and whose moral views I respect, as opposed to someone professing Christianity who then fell short as a leader and fell short on moral issues. That's my view. I'm going to be processing these things along with you in the coming days and weeks. Back with all your calls when we return.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to make a clarifying comment and a qualifying comment. A clarifying comment to all of you who join us for this last half hour of The Line of Fire, say in Denver or Phoenix or San Diego or other locations, Philadelphia. We've been on an hour and a half, different parts of the country when we come on. Hence, I made reference to having this little energy bite, this whatever, energy chew, getting ready to work out after the broadcast. And yeah, I'm getting some smiles about that out there. So that's why it was during a break. He's saying, break? He just started the show. No. You get the last exciting half hour together. You can catch the rest of the broadcast by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on The Line of Fire. Okay, qualifying comment. If the Mormon in question was an outward aggressive Mormon, and quoting as the prophet Joseph Smith said, and as the Book of Mormon says, I would not want that person as president because it would then be used as a platform for Mormon proselytizing. Whereas if the person was an evangelical Christian, I would hope that by their life and testimony it would bring honor to the Lord, but I would not expect that person to be using the White House to proselytize for evangelical Christianity either. Feel free to differ with me, okay? This is not a right and wrong issue. This is a matter of where you're coming from. We had one caller last hour said that she started with one view, and while she was on hold, her views began to shift. All right, Megan in Atlanta, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
Yes, and I appreciate all the comments you made, and I will also say, as a woman, I'm not at all offended about your making the decision to choose a man over a woman. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, thank you.
For president, yes. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. I will say that I spent 15 years of my life as a Mormon. I am no longer. I am now an evangelical Christian. Praise God for that. And
How long ago did you become?
I would say 20 years ago, was it? I kind of fell away from God for quite a period, for about 6 or 7 years of my life, and kind of went on a church search and then landed on my feet having moved to the South as a born-again Christian. And
all right, and where were you raised as a Mormon?
Salt Lake City.
All right, Salt Lake City.
I wasn't raised as a Mormon. I actually was born Catholic and grew up Catholic, and we converted to Mormonism.
Oh, okay. I wanted that background because it gives a lot more perspective to what you're about to tell us. Go ahead.
Yes. As a result, and I will preface this by saying, just in case there are any Mormons listening, there are so many great qualities about the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
Very family-oriented, very conservative views. Love that about living in the state of Utah because I'm very much a conservative.
Got it.
My concern about voting for a Mormon, and of course, if it were the lesser of two evils, like if it was Mitt Romney against our current administration, I would have no doubt in my mind I would choose Mitt Romney over what we currently are dealing with in the White House.
Okay.
However, with that said, when it comes to the GOP really pushing for somebody, my vote would not go towards a Mormon simply because of this. You will be hard-pressed to find any practicing Mormon today, someone who's a worthy temple recommend holder in the Mormon Church, who will not vote for John Huntsman or Mitt Romney because they are Mormon. And for that, that is the reason why I would not choose to vote for a Mormon. That's a little bit too much... let me put it in perspective. As an evangelical Christian, I would not have a hard time not voting for someone who was an evangelical Christian if they didn't seem to have the same political moral values that I had.
Now, what's really interesting...
In other words, their religion really plays no point
right.
to me.
I understand. Very clear. What interests me is that I read a Gallup poll, and I read this from an article earlier, said that 22% of Mormons said that they wouldn't vote for a Mormon. So perhaps those are non-practicing Mormons, and they would be afraid to vote for a practicing Mormon. That's the only sense I can make of it. Hey, Megan, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, man, I've got time for more calls here. Armando in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, is this for me, Armando?
Yes, you are the only Armando I'm talking to right now, sir.
Okay, I couldn't get it. Thanks to have my call. The only reason why I wouldn't vote for Mormon because, you know, for the sake of his soul, you know, anybody that get involved with a politician, they lie, they you know, they steal from people, and Mormon believed that black people were it's a cursed people. They weren't cursed until 1978. They were saved by the prophet. And they forgot that Jesus Christ is the one that died for every mankind. And by the blood of Jesus, everybody saved, Jews and Gentiles. And they believe towards black people. I think it's bigger.
Armando, let me just jump in.
Hang on.
I just want to ask you one question. You said, though, that when someone gets into politics, it corrupts them, they lie, they steal. Are you saying that that would be the same for a Christian as well as a Mormon? I just didn't get the connection about
that. That's also for Christian. Anybody that gets involved in politician in Washington, for the sake of his soul, I will not vote for him. Just for the sake of his soul, these people lie and steal, man. How are you going to
All right, so you're saying, all right, so who would you vote for then? If, in other words,
I wouldn't vote for nobody, not even Christian. And also, I want to send my love for all the Christians in Egypt that are being persecuted right now by Muslim. The church is being burned. I want to send my prayer and love for them. And also, the Republicans. They don't love. They don't do too much for poor people. And God.
All right. Armando, I appreciate you weighing in on that. That's just a little off topic. I'm perfectly happy to discuss one day which party does better for which issue if we can just do it in a non-political way. And absolutely, we're going to be talking more and more about persecuted church. I've been reminded of the fact that although this is something very dear to me, that I've carried for many, many years and even written about over the years, that I may take it for granted a bit too much on the air. In other words, not talk enough about what's happening with our brothers and sisters around the world suffering for the faith. It's a constant reminder for us, though, as followers of Jesus. Brett in Layton, Utah, I hope you don't mind me asking if you're a Mormon yourself just because you're calling from Utah.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Yeah, so weigh in from that perspective or from a non-Mormon perspective, but I just wanted to ask for clarity.
Okay, sure. A couple things. I've been listening for the last hour, and one thing that's been brought up a couple times is that 22% of people wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney that are LDS. The main reason is because we all have our free agency. That's one of the big beliefs of the church is that we're all free to choose. And there, I live in Utah. There's plenty of liberal Mormons here. As far as what I kind of don't understand, and that I've seen for the last hour, if you guys are going to get a view of Mormonism, I think it'd be good, just like you have me on, is to get something from Mormonism. If you wanted to find out about Jesus Christ, you wouldn't go to the Pharisees.
Brett, that's why when I wasn't asking callers primarily to weigh in on Mormonism. In fact, I've spoken about it very little, except to say that evangelical Christians have historically considered it to be a cult, but when statements were made about Mormonism, that's why I said anyone that differs as a Mormon, please call in and share your differences. So the show is not focusing on that, but if a statement's made, I'm very happy to have someone call in and weigh in that they differ with that.
Well, I think if people want to understand what Mormonism is, they should maybe meet a couple missionaries, talk to some LDS members, or go to LDS.org. I personally, as far as Mitt Romney, I'm not sold on him. He is not conservative enough for me as far as some of his beliefs. So I don't think he would really represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints very well. I'd rather see someone more conservative.
All right, so let me just ask you this question, Brett. Let's say you had Mitt Romney as a Mormon versus an evangelical Christian who held
like Jimmy Carter?
No, not like Jimmy Carter. I was all excited about former President Carter when he came in. I had been saved for a few years, and I thought, wonderful, an evangelical Christian, and was quite surprised by where things came down. But let's say you had someone who held to strong conservative moral values, family values, and was a strong leader, and was a strong evangelical Christian versus Mitt Romney. Which of those two would you vote for?
I vote for a strong evangelical Christian.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Alabama and Mississippi, and I met thousands of people that are some of the best people I've met in my entire life.
Got it. Hey, Brett. Yeah, thanks for weighing in. And I did a show on Mormonism probably a couple of years ago, but one of these days we'll revisit it and get a full discussion. Thank you for weighing in, sir. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at some of the Facebook comments on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Remember to like that page if you're on Facebook. Would you vote for Mormon, potentially any Mormon, not just Romney, to be president? Again, I've mentioned Amy Contrada's book with Mass Resistance, Mitt Romney's Deception. She takes strong issue with his leadership, not so much as a Mormon, but his track record in Massachusetts. If you're considering voting for Mr. Romney, you may want to read that book and take a look at it and come to your own conclusions. Andrew said, I would not vote for Mormon, but I would honor him as president if he were elected. Eric actually has a post on his blog saying, yes, he would. Janet, no. Debbie, possibly yes. It would depend on who his or her opponent was. There are worse things than being a Mormon, in my opinion. Another Eric, no, the active promotion of a false god is the stopper for me. I was opposed to the inclusion of Glenn Beck at Liberty University commencement for the same reason. I'm assuming LU is Liberty University. Travis, I'd rather be ruled by a good Mormon than a poor Christian. Greg, man is totally depraved, therefore a vote for any man is a vote for depravity. I remind you that it's dangerous when we look for a political savior. I think that one man, one woman is going to turn everything around. If you didn't read my article on the myth of a political savior, you can just search for it, or you can go to townhall.com and look for the article. And then please take a minute, go to townhall.com and read my newest article, Is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage? And I plan to revisit that subject probably on Wednesday of this week. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? You can read that on townhall.com. All right, back to the phones and rapid fire. Alan in Beaverton, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Alan.
Yes, and this is Dr. Brown. This is Alan.
This discussion.
You got it.
I'm a lifelong Mormon. It saddens me to hear the Mormon Church characterized as non-Christian. I think I've heard you say it. I've heard many others say it. Nothing could be further from the truth. The official name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That name was given to it by Jesus Christ himself.
So can I ask you a question, Alan? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Those of us who reject the Book of Mormon and reject Joseph Smith as a prophet and hold only to the teachings of Scripture, do you consider us to be legitimate Christians?
Yes.
Okay,
you believe
so,
in Christ. You accept him as your Savior.
Okay, so then, all right, that's a discussion for another day, but I'm glad that you aired your differences there.
The Book of Mormon, another title of the Book of Mormon is Another Witness of Jesus Christ. It spends a great deal of time.
Right, from my perspective, it's a false prophetic book written by a false prophet. And that's based on my study of Scripture and study of Mormonism. So
that's your opinion, but to call Mormons non-Christian is totally false. It's misleading, it's untrue, it's not fair, and personally, I may or may not vote for a Mormon. It depends upon his values.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney himself has held values at times that I don't agree with completely. At one time, he agreed that a woman should have the right to choose. He was following in the footsteps of his mother, who took that position when she ran for Senate. He did not personally believe in abortion, but he believed that it would be the choice of a woman. He's mm-hmm. turned around on that, and I'm glad he has, because my position is that the value of a baby's life is much more important than a woman's right to choose, and he agrees with that now. But
Alan, if there is a Mormon leader within the Mormon Church that you highly respect it, that I could have on the broadcast here to defend Mormonism, who would that person be? Who would be at the top of your list?
Dallin Oaks of the Apostles, of the 12 Apostles.
Okay. Got it. Well, listen, I haven't had a discussion about Mormonism on the air here in some time, but when I do, I'll be sure to have someone that represents the Mormon position as well. But thank you for weighing in on the presidential issue and sharing your differences with my perspective. I appreciate it, Alan. 866-34-TRUTH. Richard in Salt Lake City, Utah. Did you hear our last caller?
I actually did.
Okay, and I just see here that you were a former Mormon, and you wouldn't vote Mormon. What's your take on his protesting my view that Mormonism is not the same as Christianity?
Well, I don't know. I used to be a Mormon. I went ahead and left the church here about 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wasn't really prepared to go ahead and make a statement on...
All right, yeah, leave that out. I don't want to put you on the spot. Let's just talk about the voting issue then. Sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right. You know, I would actually have to, you know, vote my conscience. Also look at the person's past, whether they were a governor, a mayor. I would do my own research work to see what they've actually voted for in the past.
Mm-hmm.
See what their beliefs are and see if it's something along the lines of what I believe is just like everybody else.
All right, so them being a Mormon or not would be secondary to the larger issues.
That is correct.
Got it. All right, Richard, I appreciate you calling in, and I hope that you'll find a deep and vibrant relationship with Jesus himself, regardless of church or organizational affiliation. Let's see, Ken in Norristown, Pennsylvania. We're real short on time, so please dive right in.
Yes. Okay, is this me that you're getting to?
Yeah, it's you, sir.
Okay, all right. Yes, I could vote for a specific Mormon, if it's Romney, because he has a good understanding of finance, and I think he loves America, and in that, I think he has hands down over the current administration in both of those areas. However, any other Mormon, Huntsman, or anyone else, I'd have enormous reservations because I believe that to be Mormons, and I'm sorry that this will probably offend the guy who called 2 people ago, but I believe they hold ideas that to me are a departure from reality, and I would say specifically the one that summarizes what man now is, God once was, and what God now is, man can become.
Christian, Ken,
I have problems with.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in because we're out of time, but that's kind of the quote at the essence of the disagreement, so thanks for sharing it. Hey, listen, to my Mormon friends listening, you say, friends, we're not friends. To my Mormon friends listening, we'll take up Mormonism on another show, okay? And we'll do our best to give you a fair hearing, those of you who differ or feel you've been mischaracterized, because that was kind of secondary to the larger question and issue. Very important resource I want to commend to you. It's a 6-hour class by attorney Joan Franco, who's a real expert in these areas, separation of church and state, how this thing has been turned upside down, what's happening in the courts today, the history in America, very eye-opening. It's only a great deal at $25, but you can get the class for just $10 on CD for your computer or MP3 player, and we'll pay the postage. How's that? Separation of church and state, 6 hours of teaching, attorney Joan Franco, just $10, we'll pay the postage, but call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if we're going to talk about Mormonism, and if we're going to talk about is Mormonism a cult, then let's be sure that we understand what Mormons believe. Let's be sure we understand what Scripture says. We can have an intelligent discussion. As for voting, that's a separate issue.